Kevin Harlan here. Tomorrow night, 5:30 Eastern, the NBA on Prime crew is back as the Emirates NBA action heats up from Vegas for a thrilling semifinals doubleheader. Then on Tuesday night, December 16th at 8:30 Eastern, the last two teams standing will square off in the championship game for a shot at the cup, bragging rights, and a place in NBA history. And Prime is your exclusive home for it all. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a free 30-day trial to get started today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details. Don't miss the thrilling conclusion of the Emirates NBA Cup live from Las Vegas, starting with the semifinals tomorrow only on Prime.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Will they find a home? Sponsored by Geico. Steve is intrigued by the paranormal.
Otherworldly spirits really make a house a home, you know?
Janice has different taste.
I'd like my house to not be haunted.
Compromise is tough, but these two won't have to compromise when they bundle home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and they could save even more. In the end, Steve and Janice found a renovated Victorian that's only haunted from 9 to 5.
Okay, wife's home. Y'all gotta bounce.
Bye, Steve.
Bundling without compromise at Geico.com.
From the basement of the Bob and Tom Studios, it's That Josh Arnold Podcast. Oh, my goodness. Ah, another lovely week and another lovely That Josh Arnold Podcast, nearing the end of May. Holy cow. Memorial Day weekend coming up. Oh, what a fun one. People like to say the unofficial start to summer, because the official start to summer isn't until like June. Like, isn't it like mid-June? It's something that's seems way late, but who am I to question the seasons? My goodness, look at you. I'm excited. I would imagine you are too, because this week's guest on That Josh Arnold Podcast is just a delightful human being and a genuinely good person, and that's probably what I love most about them. They do a lot of good. They spread a lot of joy and happiness and love, and I can't commend them enough. Our guest this week is you. Of course, it's you. Thank you for all you do. Oh, let me get a look at you. Oh, my gosh, do you look good. I hope you feel good as well. And thank you for being here. Oh, it's, I know you're here with me now, and you can tell that it's hot. It's hot outside. It's upper 80s right now, and it's also a little cicada-y. That's right. We happen to be in an area where we're going to get those crazy cicadas, and I like it. It's I think it's a pretty cool thing. I know that they're noisy and gross and weird or whatever, but I think it's cool. Every 17 years is this brood, and man, I remember being a little kid when they came out, and then being like in my late teens, early 20s when they came out, and boy, just everywhere. And I think it's a wild thing. So I hope you enjoy it. Cicadas are not this week's sponsor, but we have a good one this week. I'll get right to it. The sponsor of That Josh Arnold Podcast this week is the sun. Oh, don't you love the sun? I mean, look. The sun does so much for us. It warms us, doesn't it? It provides us with light. It nourishes us with healthy vitamin D, which does many things for our body and brain. The specifics of which I don't know, but I know that it's good for us. And sure, the sun can get in our eyes and it can burn us, but that's on us, isn't it? You know, we looked at it, or we spent too much time out in it. That's not the sun's fault. It's our fault. Oh, bless the sun. It helps things grow, doesn't it? And, there are probably many other things that I'm either unaware of or leaving out, but it is important, I'll just put it this way. I hope you enjoy the sun sometime soon. Boy, did I, when I was looking through, many emails I get from higher ups and whatnot, and our advertising agency, they said this week your sponsor, and I looked through and I said, you know, some are gonna love this and some aren't, and but hey, well, I mean, I can't control who sponsors us. I'm proud to have the sun sponsor us. Whew, boy, down here in the basement, it feels good because, like I said, it's hot out, and it feels good down here. No sun. There are no windows at all down here. I've got one of those awful buzzing fluorescent lights that I tend to leave off because I also have a lamp down here, and that's a gentler, less harsh source of light. And we are down here in the basement. It feels pretty cool. But I say we get out of here for a second and we hop on board the... real quick, before we hop on board, I was asking Jason, my producer, this, and I just want to ask you guys, did I bump you out last week? I hope I didn't. I was telling some prom stories, and it got a little serious or whatever. I hope I didn't bum you out. That's not the whole point of this exercise is to spread some happiness and cheer, and it wasn't too morose last week. And the reason I'm asking is... typically I'll get, I enjoyed, the podcast emails. I got none last week. So I was worried. Not that you have to, I don't need it, trust me, but it was something where all of a sudden it wasn't just a decline in, email. There were none. There were just simply none. And that's all right. Hey, that's okay. I know you've got lives and you're busy and, you don't need to fluff my ego. Trust me, you really don't, but I was just concerned. That's all. So I hope I didn't sadden too many of you. And I hope you all came back. All right. Let's hop on board the TGA Express or the Arn Track. Ah. My buddy William wrote in saying that the Arn Track could potentially be a monorail. And guess what, William? It is. It is. And yes, you're correct. It is the only steam-powered monorail in existence. It's quite something. It is. It's a wonderful, wonderful mode of transportation, and so it's quite something to behold. And we're I see we've stopped here. Where are we? What? Look. Oh my! My goodness! The TGA Express has stopped in Fairfield. That's right. That's right. Now, the name is ominous, obviously, and it's a weird place, but there are some friendly folks here. They just happen to enjoy, the focus of this area, that area being, of course, Fairfield. Phobias, things that folks might be afraid of or scared of here in Fairfield. So let's go ahead and explore this week's phobia while we're here in Fairfield. So, this is a wild one. I did not know that this existed, but phobias are, it's a varied category, isn't it? I mean, there are phobias for everything. There are phobias for people who mispronounce phobia. Did you know that? When they accidentally say things like phoba, they get real scared. So, what a phobia this is. I wonder who has this. I don't think I know anybody that has it. Perhaps you do. Perhaps you even suffer from this phobia. The phobia is arachibutyrophobia. That's right. Arachibutyrophobia. Now, It's not a fear of butter. Butter is in the. It's. I'll just go ahead and spell this out for you. It's A-R-A-C-H. Now, right there sort of suggests spiders, like arachnophobia. No, no. So, A-R-A-C-H-I-B-U-T-Y-R-O, arachibutyro, or maybe butyro, and then phobia. Arachibutyrophobia. And it means, I'm not making this up, the fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. This is a legit phobia. Now, those who suffer from this, typically, I did a little research on it, typically will avoid peanut butter at all costs. And not only that, they'll avoid other things like peanut butter. Boy, maybe taffy, something that could get stuck to the roof of your mouth. Man, is it what? I bet they hate those trays at dental offices where they kind of fill them. Remember when you were, this is mostly for like adolescents, where they would fill them with fluoride and then put them on the, they were like cups that they would fill with fluoride and then put over your bottom teeth and your top teeth, and you just sit there with them and you kind of gagged, and boy, that was brutal. So I bet they hate that. Or if you've ever had to get a mold of your teeth, let's say you were getting braces or something, and they fill it with that clay and then just stick the... If you suffer from arachibutyrophobia, then there's... I mean, that's got to be just... You probably couldn't do it. You may have to be put out. Oh, boy. Put under, rather. You would be put out. It would... yeah, put under. Arachibutyrophobia, fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. What if you're a dog and you have this? Yeah, I mean, you can never, that's peanut butter was normally a treat, right? You fill up those Kong balls or whatever with peanut butter, give it to your dog. Not in this case. You wouldn't do that to a arachibutyrophobic dog. No way. A lot of times, apparently, this phobia can stem from like incidents where a person had peanut butter in their mouth and they felt they were choking to death. And so then they have fears of it, but others just don't like the fear at all, or the feeling of it, that is. And what a phobia to have. See, boy, and you know that there are arachibutyrophobiacs out there that love peanut butter, and they just, man, that's a tough one. If you have it, let me know. And I'm not just saying, I kind of don't like the way it feels or whatever. It kind of gives me, no, I'm not saying, like, are you phobic? Can you, I mean, does it really, is it just a complete illogical fear for you? Let me know. Or if you know somebody who has it, that'd be interesting. Boy, what a good trip to Fearfield this was. I certainly enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed our first trip together to Fearfield. And I'm sure we will be back. Boy, because we have nothing to be afraid of when we visit Fearfield. But... we just learn about things like this. Interesting. Real quick, did you know that there's something called phobophobia? And that is a fear of phobias? Oh, it's essentially fear of being afraid is really what it is. I mean, you could argue that it's essentially a general anxiety disorder. But it's like you're so afraid of being afraid that it's a vicious cycle, that you're so constant. So you tend to avoid, I mean, it can be really problematic and really debilitating because you tend to avoid anything where you might potentially feel fear. So no way are you going into like a haunted house or a scary movie or something like that for pleasure. I'm a weirdo. Well, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to put it that way. I happen to be a person who, I like the feeling of being scared when I go see a scary movie. I want to be scared, or I like going into haunted houses and being thrilled and terrified or whatever, and roller coasters and stuff like that. It's a release for me, and I like the that sense of danger, but not actually being in harm's way. You know, it's a pretty wild thing. But if you have phobophobia, that's got to be terrible. I mean, yeah, that's a rough one. Fear of phobias. A phobia of phobias. Boy. So we got kind of a two-for-one at our visit to Fearfield. You know, this kind of leads into our question of the week. Nice little baseline there to lead us into this. If you've sent in a question, I haven't answered it either via email, like replied to you, or on the show, I've still got it. Don't worry. So it will come up eventually. But this week's question comes to us from Michael. And he says, I'm curious, do you believe in actual paranormal activities, or do you take more of a scientific view to debunk said activities? That's a very good question, Michael. The answer is both. I do believe in the paranormal, but I absolutely want them to be, any sort of paranormal activity to be scrutinized and studied and to be debunked when necessary. My favorite paranormal activity show is Ghost Adventures. I think those gentlemen do a really good job at going to locations and documenting evidence. And one of the reasons I like that show so much is they will debunk a lot. They won't just go, well, it looked like a bug and not an orb that flew by the camera. But I don't know. They will go, that's a bug. And then they will have a big thing that says debunked or whatever. And they will make it very clear. That tells me a few things. One, that they are confident that they're getting actual evidence, because never has there been an episode where they debunk everything. So they're not afraid to debunk things that need to be debunked. They're not out there to do fool us. They want... I'm saying all this, and then maybe what in 3 years is going to come out? Everything on that show was completely staged, but I don't believe it will be. But they are fine debunking things because they want to find actual evidence and they want to present actual evidence. They're not out to pull the wool over our eyes. I really appreciate that. If I see something on one of those shows or I read about something and it's eventually debunked. Yeah, okay, all right. I do get a little disappointed, but not because it's because I love the mystery. I love it. Don't you? Don't you like not totally knowing everything? I love that. Wouldn't the world be so boring if we knew the answers to everything? Ugh. No thanks. Yeah, I like not knowing. And so yes, the answer is yes. I do believe in paranormal activity. I also think that science should be applied, and I enjoy that too. And I've read all kinds of things about that. You can go and read articles about how everything on an episode of Ghost Adventures has a scientific explanation. But I'll be honest, some of the scientific explanations are as far-fetched as the idea of the afterlife or ghosts is to non-believers in paranormal activity, you know? So, and granted, I'm not a scientist, but a lot of it goes, hey, you know what? There's as good a chance that was actually somebody talking from the grave as it was some weird sound or magnetic force appearing in that area only, that kind of, so yeah, pretty interesting. Now, where Ghost Adventures, I think, if you watch the show, you know what if you don't, I'm going to try to do my best to explain it. What's where sometimes I do think they will be slightly unfair, and I don't think they're trying to be. I think they're just confident, but I would argue that there are times they're overly confident, is when they get a voice on an EVP session. That's electronic voice phenomena, where they will run a tape recorder and they may not hear the voice in their own ears at the time. But when they play back this tape recorder, there's because it's giving off certain energy and it's powered by batteries and stuff. They argue that the spirits can use that. They can harness that energy and speak into that device. So They will record things that we couldn't hear with our ears, but you can hear in this device. So what I don't think is always fair is you'll hear, they'll play it, and you'll hear a whisper like, Razavizer. And they will put words to that. And so they'll say, oh my gosh, he just said, the devil is here or whatever. And I do my best to listen and go, I don't quite know if that's what was said. Something was said, but I don't know that it was that. So sometimes they're very clear. You can hear somebody go, I died here or whatever. I mean, incredibly clear. And you go, what in the really weird sound ones, the ones that get those that give me chills is when you can hear it in the room, like not just on the device, but you hear a voice in the room with them. It's crazy. Now, obviously, skeptics will go, well, it was probably the guy holding the boom mic. You know what? I guess. But I personally don't think so. So, Michael had a follow-up question. Would you ever open your mind up to a night alone in a haunted location? The answer is yes, I would. Yes. And I have to tell you, I would be terrified. I would be so nervous and scared that part of me thinks I wouldn't even move. Like, particularly if it were total lights out and I had to walk around with a camera, like a video camera and a tape recorder and stuff, and ask questions. And if I were hearing noises or feeling things, like, oh boy, I mean, I would be scared. And so I would do it. I would be hesitant, and I would definitely prefer to do it with others. And a lot of ghost hunters say, don't do this by yourself. You want people with you. I mean, for a few reasons. One is you're more susceptible to, they would say that you're more susceptible to evil spirits if you're by yourself. But also practical. What if I trip on a stair and I fall and break my leg? I would like to have somebody else there. So, I would rather. And I have spent the night in a very haunted location with a girlfriend of mine when we were in our, we were like maybe 20 or something. And she was huge into paranormal stuff. And she loved ghosts and studying them and reading books about them. And there is a place in St. Louis called the Lemp Mansion. Lemp was a beer, and there was the Lemp Brewery is right there, and that's very haunted. There are tunnels underneath the Lemp Brewery that are notoriously haunted. And the Lemp Mansion itself was home to the Lemp family, and I forget the number, but it's like 4 or 5 members of that family committed suicide or died very mysteriously in that mansion. And it's quite haunted, many say. So it's also an Airbnb. So I forget what the occasion was. It was either Christmas. I think it was Christmas because this was her Christmas present. And we ended up going in like February because what I did was I booked us a night at the Lemp Mansion, where you spend the night in one of the rooms where somebody died, and then you wake up and you have breakfast or whatever and you leave. So here's the weird thing. I booked it for like February, and the temperature was about negative 10, and with the wind chill, maybe negative 30. It was brutally cold. The hawk was out. If you've ever heard that term, I love. That's one of my favorite. Whenever you hear old guys or whatever refer to the hawk, they're referring to very cold weather. I just love that. So, boy, the hawk sure has its talons in us today. Oh, I'm a sucker for all that old timey sort of Western sort of talk. Anyway, the hawk was out. And we showed up. It was a Friday night, And the lady was there. We showed up for check-in. And we said, okay, yeah, we just wanted to check in. And we're going to go to the Hill, which is a famous area in St. Louis, where there are a bunch of great, authentic Italian restaurants. And they're wonderful. And, you know, somewhat pricey, but just worth every penny because it's just real, authentic Italian food, cuisine. Ah, just terrific stuff. And so we were going to go have a nice dinner and then go back to the mansion. Well, she goes, okay, here's the key. And she handed me like an old sort of, it looked like an old skeleton key in like an old movie. And I said, oh, this is for a room. And she said, no, it's for the mansion. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, you guys are the only guests. You have the mansion to yourself. And I said, oh, but where do you stay? And she goes, no, I'm going home. I said, wait. We get the whole mansion to ourselves. And she said, yeah. And I was bad. I mean, we were blown away that there was going to be nobody there but us. And we thought, this is great. I mean, imagine if you checked in to a hotel and you got your key and they went, oh, by the way, you're the only ones here. So the whole crew, the whole staff, we're just going to take off. What? I mean, I know it's there's quite a difference between a hotel and an Airbnb, but... and by the way, I keep saying Airbnb. This was way before Airbnb. It was just a B&B. It was a bed and breakfast. So, yeah, this was, I don't mean to confuse you. This was a long time ago, 20 plus years. So, okay. All right. Great. So we lock up the place. We put our bags in the room where we're staying, and she kind of gives us a tour of the mansion. And, she leaves. We all walk out, and we're freezing to death in the winter weather. And we lock the door, and she says goodnight. And okay, so my girlfriend at the time and I, we went to dinner, and then we went back to the mansion and walk up to the front door, and I put the key in, and the key doesn't work at all, and I cannot get the knob to turn. I can't get this front door open, and we are standing there freezing. It's essentially negative 30, and we are just, and the wind is blowing. It's harsh. I mean, we are freezing, and I cannot get this door open, and this was 1998, somewhere around in there. Cell phones, they were a thing, but not everybody had them. And they certainly weren't hey, if you have any trouble, call my cell. That wasn't happening. So there was no way to get a hold of anybody from that worked at the Lemp Mansion to come help us. So I'm trying and trying to get this door open and can't at all. So finally I go, we've got to figure something out. And so I say, stay here. I'm going to go try to find a different way in. So I walk around this mansion and there's no other door. There are some windows and I'm kind of trying to open those. Nothing, of course, is happening. And so I go around the back and there's one door that's clearly leading into like a basement. So I try the door and it just opens up like it wasn't locked or anything. It just opens up. I go, OK, great. Now I can go through. I can go up top and open the front door for my girlfriend. She's just out there freezing on the porch. I don't remember if she ended up going. I don't think she did, but she could have gone into her car and sat or whatever with the heater or whatever. But I don't remember if she did. I don't think so because okay, so here's what happened. I go in and I shut the door, shut that basement door behind me, and I'm telling you, it's the darkest I've ever seen. It was so dark in this basement that I couldn't turn around. I lost all sense of direction and could not find the door that I had just closed behind me. I couldn't find the knob. I couldn't find the door itself. I felt like a shelf. I'm getting chills retelling this because I was terrified. This notoriously haunted mansion. And I'm in the basement and I cannot see anything. And to be quite honest, I don't know how I did this. I felt my way and I was feeling, I only had my hands. That was the only way that I could quote unquote see. So I'm feeling this old, this mansion's centuries old. So I'm feeling like this old damp brick. And finally, I feel like a shelf and there are clearly some like steel bowls. And because all of a sudden I go, oh my gosh, this must be some sort of kitchen also. Because I'm hitting metal. I remember I hit like what felt sort of like a ladle and it crashed to the ground. And it was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my life. And and I'm so scared, so scared. And there's not a switch to be felt anywhere. Finally, I would say it was 20 minutes, 20 excruciatingly long minutes of me feeling around this basement / kitchen storage place until I found a doorknob. And I didn't know. Again, I was so disoriented because, and by the way, my eyes never adjust, like it was so dark. My eyes never adjusted to see anything. There was literally no light to see, to adjust to. So I finally felt a doorknob and I went, okay, this is either the door that I came in or it's going to lead somewhere else. And I opened it. I still can't see. I can't see anything in that room. And I start walking and I hit a step. And I go, okay, this is at least a staircase. I'm going to go up to the floor where the front door is. And I make my way up and open the door. And it's still so dark, but I can actually see things. I can see like, forms like furniture or whatever. Like, oh, geez. So I go to the front door and not only. This is weird, okay? Not only is the front door unlocked, it opens up as easily as anything. And Emily's just standing. Oh, well, my ex-girlfriend, yeah, her name was Emily, is just standing there. And we're just, and she is like, are you okay? Because she didn't know where I was. And apparently I looked horrified. And I go, this door isn't even locked. And she was like, what? And when we were outside trying to get in, we were turning that key and turning that knob. And I was putting my shoulder into this door to try to get it to budge in any way possible. So, of course, she jumps on. Well, that was the go. They were keeping us out. They didn't want us to come in. And I go, well, they didn't mind me going through the basement. And then she, of course, was. She wasn't trying to scare me, but she, well, they don't mind you. They wanted you to be in a vulnerable position to go through the basement. Oh, terrific. So we end up, obviously coming in. We lock up the front door. I don't go back down into that basement to see if I can lock that back door or whatever. Whatever. So we go upstairs. We're on like the second or third. It's a big mansion. We're on the, I guess it would just be a second floor. There was a third floor. We went up there to look around, but our room was on the second floor. So we started unpacking our things, and there was a this awesome old, like, what do they call those? Those footed tubs or whatever, like clawfoot tubs. I'm not embarrassed to say we took a bath and it was pretty cool. And then and lit some candles or whatever. It was nice. Well, you know, what are you going to do? We were a couple and we wanted to, it was romantic and kind of weird because we were in this haunted mansion. But the bath was great because we were freezing to death. And then we went to she wanted to record us using a Ouija board that we had brought. So we set up a video camera on a tripod and get your minds out of the gutter. This was just for the Ouija board, all right? So we start filming and we start using the Ouija board. Now, I know that the Ouija board, some have scientifically debunked the Ouija board. Oh, it's just the vibrations of fingers and somebody is actually leading it. They just don't feel like they are and all this stuff. I am a believer in the Ouija board. So while I don't deny the scientific aspects of one, I do think that they are capable of being a conduit. and some of you, if you don't agree, totally fine. I just ask you not to consider me a lunatic. because I certainly don't consider you one if you don't believe in this stuff. So anyway, we're doing it, and it's kind of interesting or whatever, kind of fun. We're not getting a ton on the Ouija board, but we're getting enough for it to be interesting and entertaining and a little eerie. It spelled out the name of... now, one thing that we did is I didn't know much about the Lemp family, and Emily had known a ton. She had studied it, and... at one point, the Ouija board spelled out the name of a Lemp family member that I was not aware of, but she was. But it didn't feel like she was pushing the planchette, that the thing that slides on the Ouija board around forcefully. It just felt like it was doing it itself. So that was kind of a neat thing. So anyway, we finish the Ouija board session, and right at, and I'm not kidding, she was recording this to show, like, her college class or something. And so she looked at the camera and she goes, well, I guess that's it here from the Lemp Mansion. And right as she finished the word mansion, the camera shut off. And I looked at her, I go, oh my gosh, how awesome is it that the battery just died just as you finished. We had just enough battery. How great. So your project will be cool or whatever. So I go over to the camera and I go, the battery's dead, though. I wish that we could watch some of what we just did to see if we captured any orbs or anything in the background, like some of the video. And I'm kind of messing with it. And I go ahead, for whatever reason, try the power button on the camera. It powers back up and there is 3/4 of a battery of the battery left. Because it says right there, the camera just shut off on its own, and there was still battery left in it. And she lost her mind when I told her this, and I got chills, and I was like, oh my gosh, whoever was in here with us shut off the camera. It was fun. Now look, can a camera just shut off on its own or whatever? Yes, of course. Why? It's a piece of technology. I'm sure it can. But Was it an eerie coincidence? Were we excited? Was it fun? Yes. Yes, it was. And, we eventually, walked around with the video camera and to other rooms, and it was real creepy. But, honestly, no noises, no sightings of any kind. I didn't even get too many. There was always kind of a weird feeling in there. But nothing compared to how I felt in that basement. And boy, I mean, maybe it would have felt weirder if the front door had opened just immediately and we just walked in. Maybe I would have been weirded out by other things in the mansion. But I think that was a tough act to follow, me having to feel my way through that pitch black basement. Whoo, boy, I'm a little sweaty even thinking about it. Man, oh man. The Lemp Mansion is still there. If you're ever driving on Highway 55 through downtown St. Louis, you can see it. It's right there. And it's across from the Anheuser-Busch Brewery, and it's just this old, very old mansion. I wonder if they still have the B&B part of it, if you can still spend the night there. So, long answer, Michael, but I hope you found it entertaining. It sure was fun to revisit that experience. And yeah, the next morning we woke up and we could smell breakfast being made. We went down and the lady was there. She was like, how was your stay? You know, I didn't even tell her about the front door not working at all. I just handed her the key and we left. So, okay, boy, pretty wild. You know, it's weird to talk about ghost stories in the middle of summer, but I can talk about them anytime. I love them. But I look, Halloween is, I saw recently some Halloween movies on cable. I was like, what the heck's this? And it's halfway to Halloween. It's our halfway to Halloween marathon. I was like, all right. Why not? But until then, I'm ready for the summer. And I bet many of you are too. And I'll tell you what, I've been doing some work outside. I had a goal ever since I moved into my house to get some life around the house. There were no flower beds at all, no plants. There's one birch tree in my front yard, and that's it. And the land also kind of around my house kind of slopes inward towards the house. And well, that's no good. I didn't like, now I had gutters with long, you know, downspouts with long extensions so that the rainwater would go away from the house and not affect the foundation, but something still had to be affecting the foundation. Some dampness or whatever, I thought, you know, I want to build flower beds essentially around my house, at least on the, in the front and then the left and right side. And thought, all right. And this spring, I went, this is it. I've lived there for 3 years. I went, this spring, I'm going to do this. And I had Jeff Oskey from the Big Morning Show over. And you know him from his new wonderful segment, Failed to Mention. And he was a landscaper for, oh boy, over 10 years, I think. I mean, it was a long time. And he skilled and quite knowledgeable with that stuff. And he came over one day and I said, hey, so here's what I'm thinking about doing. Can you just give me a little advice to start off? And I told him and he was like, yeah, you can do this and do this and do this. And eventually I realized as he was telling me, okay, this is a little, I'm a little in over my head here. This is my first time doing this sort of project. And so I just said, hey, Jeff, you want some side money? And would you like to help me do this? And he said, sure, yeah, I'd love it. And great. So we got excited and we said, oh, well, we're going to get a bunch of dirt and we'll have it dumped on your driveway. And then we'll wheelbarrow it over here and there and there and here. And we'll put all these plants down and then some mulch. And I go, oh, I like black mulch. He goes, oh, that'll look great. And all. So we get the ball rolling. I order a triaxle dump truck of 9 cubic yards of pulverized topsoil, and they dump that onto my driveway, and I get some new tools that I hadn't had for this, and he brings over his wheelbarrow and shovels and tools and stuff. And for the last couple weeks, not every day, but over the last couple weeks, we built these flower beds and moved the topsoil, bow raked it, planted, put down the weed barrier and the edging, and then dumped black mulch all in there. And boy, and now I'm just watering the heck out of everything. And then I also took a bunch of dirt to the back of the house and evened out the slope that I had. And now I'm going to put grass seed on that. I mean, it's crazy. We did a ton of work, and I have to be honest, it was hot and dirty and insecty. That pile of dirt was teeming with spiders, and these spiders. I'll put a little video on my Instagram today of what these spiders look like. I would take shovels full of the dirt, I would see these spiders kind of crawl out from the dirt or whatever and run. And they are as close to being like, they look like small tarantulas, and they're as close to being tarantulas without actually being tarantulas. I think they, these things are, they're so big that if you're just standing over one, you can see its eyes. Like, and I don't, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times you have to get kind of close to a spider to actually see the eight eyes. No, 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 not these. If you're just looking at it from afar, you can see those eight eyes staring right back at you. And it didn't really bother me. Spiders, look, they're not my favorite thing, but they don't bother me that much. So I was still able to totally work with the dirge or whatever. But, I mean, yesterday alone, I probably moved 12 wheelbarrows worth of dirt, and I saw at least 15 of those things. And I saw one with a big egg sac. So they love it. They love that moist topsoil. I think because what would happen is I would put the shovel in and then one would just kind of come out. So I think they bury themselves or whatever. They burrow and quite something. My point. Jeez, thanks, Josh. We've been wondering. All right. Come on. My point is, this was a pretty big project, and I got down on my knees and got my hands dirty and got sweaty and sore and a little sunburned, and I love it. I loved it. First off, the end result is gorgeous, and not only does it, is it a nice, add some curb appeal to my house, it adds some nice curb, but it also is potentially protecting the foundation. It's fashion and function, essentially. And I have plants. I have wonderful flowers and grasses and bushes now. And I've got some life around my house. And I bought these boxwoods, and those are in some big pots, and they frame my front door. And I'm really proud of what we did. And happy to throw some money Jeff's way. And he said that, oh, great, I can take my family out for sushi. That's something that we don't often do, and we all love it, and awesome, and it's awesome, and it really was rewarding, and I look forward to more projects. Now, mowing and edging and weeding and all that and watering your plants, it's a pain, but it's also like it's a good pain. You know, I don't know. I think you can see the end results, and that's so nice. And some of this may seem so obvious to you, but I hadn't done it. And there was a part of me that went, man, I'm just going to save up and hire a landscaping company, and they can come out and do this. And I'm really glad that instead I hired a friend. We had some laughs while we did it. We we shared some stories. He's a stand-up comedian as well, and he also works on the Bob and Tom Show, so we had a lot to talk about, and I got to learn a little bit more about his family and past, and terrific. And when we weren't talking, I would put in my I'd listen to music, and what I like when I do yard work is, well, I'll be honest, I am a sucker for old-timey Americana and rural, bucolic sort of settings. And I love, I just love, like, looking back at, I love the history of sort of the Midwest and farmers. Like, I told you guys about that wonderful novel, Cold Mountain. I love that stuff. I love salt of the earth sort of people and things like, I love it. And so what I like to do is I put on, now when I mow, I tend to listen to my angry young man music. I have my Slipknot and my Static X and my Korn and Marilyn Manson and stuff. And I like it. It gets me pumped up or whatever. And it's a nice release and it's fun. But when I'm in the dirt, when I've got my hands in the soil, I like some country music, some outlaw country and some old country. And I like things with fiddles and banjos and stuff because it gives me the briefest and tiniest glimpse into working my land, what it must have been like to walk out your the house that maybe you didn't build literally, but your father did or your grandfather did. Like they actually built it. And you and their wives, your grandmother and your mom, and now your wife essentially run the house, and they make sure everything's in order and cleaned while you're out taking. And by the way, that's not to take anything away from the fact that so many women were out taking care of the land as well. And you go out, and my gosh, if you don't get covered in burrs and mud and deal with, bugs and snakes and stuff, and you're working your land, and quite literally, the fruits of your labor are they're providing for you. And again, what I'm doing is so far removed from what our ancestors did, essentially. But it does give me a little taste of that, and it really feels good. It's I've really enjoyed it, and I have such an appreciation for folks who have done that all their lives or do it. Mine's a small hobby and something to kind of make my house look nicer but I just really appreciate that. Those little moments that take me back to a time that I never experienced. Or if you believe in past lives, maybe I did. But it sure is something special. And so I guess what I'd like to leave you with is, this particular way that we can, what's the segment called? what to work on this week. Oh, this old number. Well, look at this guy. Oh, look at, you know what I think he is, folks? That's a city man right there. That is a city man. And he is, look at his suit. And there's nothing wrong with him. I'm not saying there is at all. Oh, yep, he's got his little handbag there. It's sort of a suitcase type looking thing. And he's, oh boy, he looks sharp. And I gotta be honest, I don't think he spent a day in the fields or tilling any earth. Why don't we have him come on over and join us while we discuss what to work on this? Yeah, you! Come on! That's right. Oh, you can tell me about your wares later. I know you want to sell me something, but that's not... I want to sell you an idea first, sir. Okay. So, what I recommend we do this week is something natural. And I mean that quite literally. Spend a little time in nature. It could be something as simple as watering a plant or just going out and kind of looking at some flowers in your backyard, whatever. Go anywhere and really enjoy what you have around you, the trees, the grass. I read a great book recently. I don't remember if I told you guys about it, but there was a line in it that has stuck with me ever since I read it. It's called Where the Crawdads Sing. It's a lovely book. And this woman is essentially, she raises herself essentially in these grasslands. It's kind of a swamp grassland off the Carolina coast. And she for the first time in her life, she's like, I think in her 20s or something, she is taken to the city and she sees her first neighborhood. And the thing that strikes her as she's driving through this neighborhood, as she's riding through this neighborhood, rather, she says, and I'm paraphrasing, everybody they cut their lawn. Like she can't believe that people mow their grass and prune their plants and trim their trees and stuff like that. Because to her, that is completely unnatural to cut down something like that in its prime. She thinks, and she's lived this life, grass should grow as high as it can grow. And trees and plants should get unruly. That's their nature, to grow as big and crazily and as wildly as they can. And she can't understand our mindset of, well, it doesn't look good unless I cut it. It doesn't look good unless I prune and clip it really struck me. Yes, yes. And this year, I probably went 2 weeks longer than I should have before I mowed my lawn for the first time, because I would look out at it and her voice would pop into my head and I'd go, yeah, this is how it should be. Grass should grow as high as it can get. But of course, I had to succumb to, well, my own aesthetic desires for my yard. And of course, even more so, my neighbor's aesthetic desires for my yard. They don't want to look across the street or next door and see an unruly yard. But it definitely hit me. So what I'm suggesting is check something out. Go out and really admire some nature. And if you don't just go, okay, I looked at a tree and I'm going back inside. If you really just kind of, get your hands a little dirty or just touch the bark or whatever. Really try to connect. And I know this sounds sort of hippie-ish or whatever, but that's fine. It's cool. I think you will. I think you'll like it. And I think, you know, it's also, walk through your yard barefoot. Man, oh man, that's connection. So something like that. I hope you do it. And don't forget that this weekend is a very, bye!
Check out the podcast that inspired Taylor Sheridan's latest series, Landman.
There's a stretch of road in oil rich region of West Texas. This region of West Texas, known as the Permian Basin, is in the midst of the biggest oil boom in history. This is a story of roughnecks, billionaire wildcatters, and wannabe dreamers. My name is Christian Wallace. From Texas Monthly and Imperative Entertainment, this is Boomtown.
Boomtown.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.